Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The New York Times column Modern Love has become incredibly popular in the last few years. Let me read you a few headlines and you'll definitely understand why. What I learned from my Instagram crush, spending my tenderness on animals. And one of our favorites, monogamous birds of New York City. Maybe these stories have been small comforts for you in these hard times, or maybe you're trying to work through the logistics of love in a pandemic and need a little inspiration. Well, I'm joined now by Mia Lee and Daniel Jones, co-hosts of the Modern Love podcast, which is back for a new season. Mia is editor of Modern Love Projects, as well as co-host of the Modern Love podcast. So Mia and Dan, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Hey, good
Hi.
To be here.
Thank you for having us.
So you're doing a lot about dating during the coronavirus pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have, it was such a sea change when the pandemic struck in, you know, New York anyway, in mid-March. And I remember we were sent away from the Times office with, I think it was word, Mia can correct me if I'm wrong, that we'd be away for 2 weeks. And we thought, oh my mm-hmm. God, like, how are we going to put out the paper for 2 weeks, all of us out of the office? And it's been 30 weeks. And what happened immediately, I think, in the dating world is that there was no such thing as casual anymore. It created this sea change of people who needed to isolate and quarantine for unknown amounts of time. I think back then it was at least 6 weeks or so that people were sort of cooped up. And what really struck us both, I think, early on were these stories of people deciding either to fish or cut bait. You know, they needed to either jump all into a relationship that may have been casual or jump out and endure this alone. And that was so interesting to observe.
So listeners, we're going to invite you to participate in this because I think Mia and Dan would love to hear these stories. Maybe you'll wind up in a future Modern Love column or podcast. Call in, and they need to be short, but call in with your tiny love stories. They have that form that they call tiny love stories of meeting somebody, and it could be a new lover or it could even be a new friend, since the middle of March. How were you able to be responsible and still form a new relationship? What's your tiny love story? 646-435-7280. Let's get a couple in here that Mia and Dan might enjoy hearing, even as we enjoy hearing from them. This is our on-air number. This is not the same as the pledge drive number that I was giving you before. We will never ask you for money on the air, that is for sure. So with your tiny love story of making a new friend or a new lover during coronavirus, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Mia, I see you've been reading Modern Love submissions ever since you were a freshman in college. Are there stories that you found mm-hmm. most influential and kind of pushed you toward becoming part of this yourself?
I have one actually favorite story. It changes. My favorites kind of change week to week, month to month. But one that has really stayed with me is "When Is Being Together Worth $5.50 an Hour?" About written by a woman who was dating Uh-oh. Someone and she had to pay for parking outside of his apartment. And so she had to ask herself, is this hour, you know, spent with him worth $5.50? And it became a kind of larger meditation on like value in relationships, investment in relationships, and a larger lesson of how you have to invest equally in relationships, whether it's time or, you know, emotional energy.
Do you have a favorite Modern Love essay of all time, Dan?
I mean, my default for that is the one that took off like no other, which was called "To Fall in Love with Anyone, Do This," and was read by tens of millions of people and focused on a couple who were strangers who decided to do an experiment of a psychological experiment. They were supposed to foster intimacy, and they were to ask each other the same set of 36 questions that supposedly took you deeper and deeper into each other's loves and hates and childhoods and fears and hopes. And that one was just so fun because it had such impact and led to countless marriages and relationships. And it sort of popularized these questions that had in fact been around, I think, since the late 90s, but surfaced them in a big way. And it changed a lot of people's worlds, honestly.
And the I guess the most recent episode of the podcast, you asked Mia what surprised her most going through this year's Modern Love submissions. And so I will pose that question, since you've been Modern Love editor ever since the column debuted, I think, 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. What surprised you this year going through submissions?
Are you asking me or me?
Yes, you.
Oh, the change in Modern Love doesn't necessarily follow the news. In fact, it's often thought of as counter-programming to the news. And we're not expected to have essays that reflect what's happening week to week. And we, at the beginning, didn't think the pandemic would honestly be any different. We thought we'd still be running stories that were about all kinds of things. But the submissions became, I don't know, we were just talking about this earlier, I think like 80% pandemic-influenced stories. It just became something that had invaded everyone's lives. It had changed everyone's relationships. And on top of that, a lot of people were home, a lot of people were unemployed, and they were wanting to write about it and figure it out. So this year has been, like a lot of other corners of society, this year has been dominated by the pandemic and people trying to figure out how this has changed love and connection.
Mia, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was surprised by how well some people are coping actually in this time. I know that this is a time of immense isolation and stress, but a lot of people are finding creative ways to connect or just to, survive the people that they're living with. There was one couple that started to argue in British accents, an American couple, just to keep things kind of light and not to take things too seriously. Surprised by the light, actually, that's possible now.
All right.
And picking up on that, what another, we did a project where we asked people who were isolated completely by themselves in their apartments how they were faring. And several of those people, and one in particular, was sort of celebrating not having to, have fear of missing out, like not having anything, knowing that no one was doing anything. And she liked being alone anyway. And it felt like it was a relief. And that was more broad spread than just one person. I think some people really took solace in the fact that they weren't missing out on anything. Everybody was home. Mm.
Let's hear a few of our listeners' pandemic-era tiny love stories. Justine in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show. Thank you so much for all the work that you do. Really admire you.
Thank you so much.
My tiny love story, it is tiny, but it spans miles. So I also live alone and had been alone since March. And met someone on Instagram. He commented on one of my stories. I had been like Insta suggested to him as a friend. We have a lot of mutual friends. And so he commented on one of my stories and we got to talking. He lives in Brooklyn, but he had been quarantining with his parents in New Orleans. And then he bought a car and then drove back up from New Orleans to Brooklyn. And we have been dating ever since June.
That's that.
Wow, good for you.
A beautiful story, Justine. Thank you very much. We're going to go to Leah in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Leah.
Hi. It's so exciting to be here. So my quarantine story, I had been seeing someone casual before Corona hit, and we kind of faded out, but kept in touch a little bit. And then about 2 weeks before quarantine, I had started seeing someone very casually, but we quickly decided to quarantine together. But during that time, like being thrown together so quickly kind of like burned through our relationship, and it really revealed like how incompatible we were very quickly. But during that time, I kept in touch with the previous person, and because we weren't quarantining together and we were apart, our like emotional bond really grew. And once like we felt comfortable, you know, social distancing and seeing each other again, we decided to see each other and got together a lot more seriously.
Those are two really good stories, Leah and Mia. I'll bet you hear a lot of those. Would a lot be overstating it? People who decided to quarantine together who were in relationships that were too new, and maybe like Leah's, it didn't work out, or maybe it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to kind of accelerate relationships. You can see if they're doomed or if they actually work well. I know some people, there was one story in our Alone project of a couple that just knew, we have to break up and, you know, go our separate ways.
One more. David in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. First-time caller. Love your show. Thank you so much. You you keep us company every day. I just wanted to say as a, maybe a promiscuous homosexual, the pandemic has kind of been interesting for people like me. But I feel like maybe our community has a little bit of a jump start in having to negotiate how to open up our bubbles. We've had, you know, the testing for HIV for years of like, just get tested and know your status. So I feel like that has kind of created new social norms of like, cool, I'll be tested and I'll be distant for 2 weeks and then I can safely play, as it were. And I feel like that's kind of how at least my social group or like what we've been talking about, how we've been opening up safely, being a ethical slut, as it were.
David, thank you very much. Dan, in our last minute, you want to comment on that? I guess that becomes part of the new negotiation over when relationships proceed to the physical. Do you require the other person to get tested, all that kind of thing? And tell us what you've got coming up on the podcast. Dan, you want to take that?
Yeah. I mean, there have been two interesting developments during this time. And I have a poor connection. I'm not sure if it's coming through clearly.
We got you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We do.
Okay. The negotiation over how do we get together in person and what are the risks we're willing to take. It's interesting that he was talking about HIV and being tested and a familiarity with all that. But it becomes in the pandemic, like who is your safe circle and how far outside of that are you willing to go and who else are you going to put at risk? And then the flip side of that are a lot of deep emotional relationships that never cross to the physical. People who are online dating, you know, I think one of the services, Tinder, I believe, just opened its borders and said, you can be in touch with anyone in the world, basically. And those kinds of, you know, again, that sense of relief that you don't have to actually meet in person and you can get to know each other really deeply. Through messaging and, nice. And storytelling and getting sort of matters of the heart. And I'm curious where those end up once this all ends.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your storytelling. I know it's wildly popular. So it's been great to have Mia Lee and Daniel Jones, co-host of the podcast Modern Love, from the New York Times. The first two episodes of the new Modern Love season are up and available to stream online. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.